College football playoff going from 4 to 12 teams, do you like that?
Yeah. Puts a lot of pressure on 13.
Yes, it
is. Number 13 is going to catch a lot of grief.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a time, and I hope I'm around to see it, and I plan to be around to see it, where the college football is going to surpass March Madness. Hmm. It's going to blow March Madness out of the water. Holidays, playoff football in the NFL, college football. College football could dictate everything, including the NFL. I know you don't believe that, but when you think about college football and the number of alums out there who watch games, and now it's going to be a playoff system where your number 12 has a chance to win the national championship. Now number 12, number 11, number 10, number all have a chance to win the national championship. And some of those games are going to be on your campus. I think college football playoffs are going to be just rule the roost.
There's a huge hill to climb because of the top 100 watch sports events last year.
Yeah,
the 98%, NFL got 95.
Or 95%, yeah.
So that's a – and I think it's – there's a popularity of the NFL, but I think it's betting, and I also think it's these fantasy leagues that lead to the popularity of – a lot of people have no interest. They don't care about either one of these teams. But they got the quarterback playing in that game, or they got the running back. I think that's fed into the popularity of the NFL.
Does college football have fantasy leagues?
Yes, they do, but not to the extent of the NFL. I'm in one of them.
Are you? I didn't even know they had them. Well, you think that's going to grow or decline?
Well, I don't like it because I'm losing players in the portal.
Yeah, I can see that now. So, now I know why you got this transfer thing. It's
all they're killing me.
Now the truth
they're
comes out.
Me. That's
they're killing you, yeah. Yeah.
One thing Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, brought up a couple of years ago, there were around 2,500 football players in the portal.
Yeah.
1,000 of them never found a home.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that?
But 1,600 did.
1,600 did, but you got 1,000 that did, that had scholarships somewhere.
Yeah. Did they go back? Or I don't know. What did they if they didn't land a home,
well,
they
weren't
quit,
taken back.
They were done?
Yeah, they were done. Or they became walk-ons somewhere.
Yeah,
or they quit.
I wasn't familiar with that. I guess that's, you know, they have to roll the dice and get in there. And who's telling them to get in the portal is one thing. And are they being encouraged to get in the portal to go somewhere else?
There's some of that going on,
yeah,
too.
Is Coach B telling one of his players, hey, call Jimmy Himes, get him in the portal. We'll give him something, you know. I know. Yeah. I don't really, you know, I don't know.
But let me ask you this, though. So Amari Thomas, Tennessee defensive tackle, was part of a leadership program at Tennessee. He goes to the SEC office. The athletes that were there, and there were about a dozen, were asked to come up with a question to ask Sankey. His question was, if we go to a 12-team playoff and we have to play 15 or 16 games, what kind of rest do we get? What are you doing schedule-wise for us? I don't know what Sankey's answer was, but do you think that's asking too much of the college athlete?
Eventually, with the money, you're not going to see walk-ons anymore.
Okay.
I think walk-ons are done in time because they cost money. Mm-hmm. They cost a little money here and there, you know. Walk-ons are great. They make good stories, you know, and they're 30 for 30s, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
I think the walk-on program is done. Going back to your other question, it's really probably the crux of the playoff system because there's no Akrons in the playoff system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the best 12, you know. And there is probably a concern over playing that many games. But they signed up for this. You know, when they got recruited at 18 years old, they get recruited to Alabama, you know you're going to be in a playoff system. Right now, every high school kid that goes to Alabama or somewhere, Tennessee, says, okay, I'm going to go there. And there's a chance I'm going to play 14, 15, 16 games. And you're right. There is an issue over, you know, injury. But again, they're young kids. You know, they're young kids. They should cut down two-a-days. They should cut down the harder practices, which I think coaches will. There'll be no contact at all. And I think two-a-days should be reduced significantly if you think you're going to be playing more games. Because what happens is, you know, you just got kids who are beat up a little bit. But, yeah, to answer your question, Jimmy, they signed up for it. They know what they're getting into. And I think it's a catch 22. It's a long season, but
they know now what they're getting into. But the ones that had signed a few years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Weren't aware. Tennessee's sports programs. Now you started in 1985. Tennessee has won 3 all sports trophies in a row. They finished 3rd in the National All Sports Trophy. Have you ever seen it better all around in the University of Tennessee in the athletic programs?
No, not at all. This is as good as it gets. Those guys over there are doing an outstanding job. Again, it goes back to that leadership component. Everyone feels good. They don't look over their shoulders. All the 3, the administrators, everyone's in concert. You know one of the best things that happened to the University of Tennessee in the last 3 years? Randy Boyd lost the governorship. Really, I mean, that's just really. Randy Boyd lost the governorship, and he came to the university, and look what he's done. I mean, you have to give him credit. Don Day's wonderful. Administration's wonderful. Danny, the athletic department, they're doing a great job. But it starts at the top. Do you know, Jimmy, that the historical model of the University of Tennessee was always that the athletic director reported to the president?
Yeah.
Up until early 2000. And then they changed it. And you had chancellors, you had administrators on campus who were getting pressure from, you know, faculty groups, et cetera, with regard to athletics. I know because I dealt with some of it. And in the last 3 or 4 years, you don't have that because you have a chancellor who understands both areas, the academic area and the athletic area, and the 3rd area, you know, alumni. She's a treasure. Mm-hmm. Donde Plowman is a treasure for the university. She truly is. And you have such a synergy now of people, of everything that's happening. And it's just wonderful.
After the 22 season, I was at Home Depot, and I bumped into a leading trustee. He came over and we started talking. And he was going on and on about how things were great. It was after the 22 season, remember that now, okay? How great the university is, how wonderful, no drama, no this, no that.
It was kind of a shot at maybe the past. And he knew that I was a big part of the past. Yeah, he knew that. And he was going on and on about all this different blah, blah, blah. I put my hand, I said, hold on a minute. Remember one thing, very important. He said, what? I said, all the things you're saying are true. Everything is wonderful over there now. But it starts with a great quarterback. When you get great quarterback play, you could turn that checkerboard to purple. No one will care if you got a great quarterback on that field. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right. And Hendon Hooker was the
Virginia Tech
yeah.
And,
transfer.
Let me tell you something, Jimmy. You've been over there and watched as long as I have. What he did in 22 on that field is as good as Reggie White's best year, Peyton's best year, T's best year. You go back. I don't care. No one had a better year. Maybe it's good, but no one had a better year than Hendon Hooker. And to answer your question, starts that quarterback.
Well, it starts with the quarterback in football, but all these sports are doing so well.
But everything.
All right, so let me ask you, but here's the thing that's interesting to me. So Tennessee's got 16 head coaches over there. 11 of them have been an SEC Coach of the Year. 4 of them have been a Coach of the Year in another conference.
Yeah.
The only guy that hadn't been a Coach of the Year at any level is a soccer coach, and he's only been there a few years.
Is that right?
He replaced the guy that went to Florida State. So
I didn't know that.
How rare is it
rare.
To be that? Now there's one question mark, and that's Kim Caldwell with the Lady Vols. She just got hired. But that's remarkable to me to see that they've got that many good coaches in that many sports.
If you look, it is remarkable. It's that synergy. I'm telling you, it's the synergy. I've been in that building when it was, you know, low vibrations and people were looking around. I don't think they probably have that now because everyone's competing at such a high level.
A.G. Hines & Company, a popular place for folks to shop for building materials and tools. They've been selling building materials and tools since anyone can remember.
If you look at Danny White's record, this girl's going to win too. This coach is going to win based on his record. And when he's done, so it's going to probably just keep going. You know, it's just going to keep rolling and get bigger and bigger and bigger. But again, it helps to have a great quarterback. Never forget that. Don't get off that principle.
Danny White told me at the SEC spring meetings before baseball won the College World Series, he said the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
And he thinks track can win a national championship in a couple of years. He believes in Caldwell. By the way, his MO or his philosophy on hiring coach is typically it's a young coach, up-and-comer, mm-hmm. who scores points.
Exactly.
And that's what he's done, and that's been a successful formula for him.
And it's worked. I mean, and so why would it stop working now?
The SEC adds Texas and Oklahoma. Texas with a great all-around sports program. Is that going to bite into some of Tennessee's success?
Yeah. I love softball. Yeah. I love softball. It's one of my favorite sports to watch. They're bringing in two champions.
Yeah. They played for the Women's College World Series.
Yeah. They're bringing in championship. They're bringing the Yankees in.
Yeah. And Oklahoma's won four
Yankees.
In a row.
Yeah, they're bringing in two Yankees teams in softball. And it's going to be hard to compete, but we can. Karen knows what she's doing. But, yeah, it's going that incline was like this. It's like this now with those teams. Yeah. Greg knows what he's doing by bringing in those teams. You know, you're going to get into Texas, you know, hard. And the question is, again, what happens when they go to the – first of all, let me ask you this. There's this talk of expansion, right?
Yes, more expansion, yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the ACC situation.
Do you think we'll expand SEC?
Probably because I think the ACC is going to implode. But I don't know how quickly. You got a rights deal that goes through 2036. Yeah. You got two teams that are suing the ACC over the rights deal. Are they going to win? If they win that, then they're going to bolt. If you're the SEC, do you sit back and say, we don't care about Florida State, North Carolina, Miami, or any of those schools. We'll let them go to the Big Ten, wherever they want to go. Or do you get a couple of them? I think they get a couple.
So you're commissioner for a day. You're Jimmy Himes, commissioner for 24 hours. And it all implodes. Who do you go after? Who are your two you go after?
Florida State and North Carolina.
Why Florida State?
Because they got a great football program.
What do they bring to the table for us?
Football.
Okay, let's just add one more, you know, person on the block. But what are they bringing TVs for us?
I don't know.
You know what?
Because you already hit into Florida.
Yeah, we own Florida. You know who I'd go after?
Who?
You're going to laugh at me.
Virginia Tech.
No, I'd like to. I'd love to. But that's my alma mater. I'd go after First Chapel Hill, like you said. Mm-hmm. They're a national program. They're Stanford with good sports. I mean, they are some Stanford graduates. My daughter's father-in-law is a Stanford graduate. So I hope he doesn't see this. But he thinks they're great and everything.
I hope he does.
Yeah. You know who else I'd go after?
Who?
You're going to laugh at me. It's hard for me to say this because I do not like them. The Wahoos. You know why?
Go after Virginia, okay?
Vanderbilt needs a date, right?
That's debatable.
Okay, but what do you get with Virginia? You get the D.C. Maryland market.
Yeah.
And if you're the SEC, you could own those markets. Okay, Maryland, okay, it's fine, Maryland, and who else? Penn State tries to get in there, and you got Rutgers and whoever, West Virginia, If Virginia was in a Southeastern Conference, the Southeastern Conference would own that market, which the biggest thing about that market is what? Recruiting.
Yeah.
That opens a big door. I'd go after Virginia because Clemson and Florida State are like us.
Yeah.
They're like we are. And Clemson brings nothing to the table. Everybody's over going to get Clemson. Well, they bring Greenville, South Carolina to the table. What do they bring? That's just me thinking.
Tennessee baseball, Tony Vitello, he's done a remarkable job. Before he got here, Tennessee baseball had struggled for a number of years, and you were as assistant athletic director overseeing baseball. Tell me about how Tennessee hired Tony Vitello.
Okay. It's going to take a few minutes. We let Dave go.
Dave Serrano.
Put together a search committee.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down in the search committee and went through a lot of different names. And John Curry, I'll give him credit, John said, make this pool as big as you can, and we're going to take our time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff that you see happening over there at Lindsey Nelson, Philip kind of scratched the surface. People don't want to give him any credit, but he did. He scratched the surface on Lindsey Nelson. He put the turf in, and he sat in meetings about expansion. Now, Danny's taken it to another level, granted, but again, he's captured the best baseball program in America. We sat for hours and went through names. And then Blair DeBoard, who's now at Missouri, he and I went to a regional in Chapel Hill and a super regional in, I think, South Carolina. Or something. We went 2 weekends in a row. And he's on the phone with John. John's out looking at coaches. And we would come back, and on a Sunday night or a Monday morning, we would meet again as a group. Blair DeBoard is the reason we have the best baseball coach in college baseball. Every time a name would come up, this name, that name, this name, Blair would always say, what about this Fitello? See, he knew Tony. Tony recruited him when he was at Kansas State. I'm sorry, when Tony was at TCU, he recruited Blair, who ended up going to Kansas State. He didn't go to TCU, but they kept in touch after Blair went to Kansas State. Blair was the captain of the Kansas State team that almost went to College World Series. And they stayed in touch. And every time a name would come up, you know, Reed would put up a name, or Angie Boy Keck, or Carmen would put up a name. Blair would always say, what about Fitello? So finally, we got Fitello on a conference call. And he blew it away. And we all looked, and I said, that's right. He's got my vote. I was the first one. I raised my hand. I said, he's got my vote. And I remember Reed said, well, that's because he's Italian. You know how Reed was. Reed was really a smart guy. Reed was one of the best administrators in my 35 years over there to ever come into that department. I'm telling you that. 20 athletic directors came through in 20 years. If we had time, I'd name them all. 20 ADs came through Tennessee. Since the time Doug Dickey was there till today. Reed was as good as any person to come through there. I said, hey, you hear that interview? And everyone was shaking their head because he blew it away. Blair went to see John. And he had a list of stuff. Because John had gone down the road, he talked to some people, and there's a debate, you know, did he offer it to anyone? Did anyone turn it down? It's like, you know, who's in Grant's tomb? So Blair walked in, and he had a little card here. And he had all the reasons why we should hire Tony Vitello. And to John's credit, when it was done, John said, Blair, I think you have a good point. Let's contact him. And he asked me why I came. Why was I there with Blair? And I said, well, I have some reasons, too. I turned to walk out the door. And, you know, John said, wait a minute, what are your reasons? I didn't have any reasons. I said, well, he has an MBA, and he competed with guys that are in the private equity, guys that are going to be counting big firms. He sat there in the room, and he got an MBA with these guys. It wasn't online. So he has to be smart. I said, my wife says he's really good looking, and so he would win all the home visits with Mama. And John just kind of looked at me like, what kind of reason is that? I said, and he's Italian.
You said that Tony Vitello, after the interview, it blew you away. What in that interview sold you on Tony?
He had here's something I learned from Doug Dickey. Every time you interview someone, they have answers. Mm-hmm. He had legitimate answers. Okay. And what he didn't know, he told you he didn't know.
Mm.
Okay. He's really a smart guy. And he's my guy. You know, of course I'm going to be, promote him. I'll tell you something about Tony Vitello. And you've been around this a long time, Jimmy. How many times have we hired head coaches at the University of Tennessee and they hired a significant coach that they never worked with and hardly knew?
That doesn't happen a lot.
No, not in coaching. After we hired Tony, I was in the dugout after his interview out there on the field. Were you probably at the interview in the field out there?
Mm-hmm.
Went up to him and said, who are some of your coaches, man? He said, well, I'm working on a recruiter. He said, I think I'm going to hire Frank Anderson as a pitching coach. I said, oh, Frank Anderson from Oklahoma State? He said, yeah. I said, wow. You know, if you were in the profession, you knew he was the Nick Saban, the defensive back coaches. You know, he was the guy. And I looked at him. I said, so when did you guys work together? Well, we never did. Never worked with Frank? No. How well do you know him? I've been to a couple games where we'd stand down the right field or left field line, you know, watching a high school kid play and compare notes. He wanted the best pitching coach in college baseball. And he didn't care how well he knew him. He wanted the best coach. And so he asked me to host Frank. 3 days later, Frank flew to Knoxville looking for a house. I drove him all around Knoxville, just the two of us. And I said to him, I said, what are you going to do now or something? He said, oh, I'm going to go back to Houston and clean out my office. And I'm looking forward to meeting Tony. Or I'm looking forward to seeing Tony. Kind of like meeting him and seeing him. I said, how well do you know him? He said, well, not that well. he took a chance on Tony, and Tony took a chance on him. That's what you do when you're smart and you have confidence in yourself. And you asked the question, what was the key? Was his confidence. On that, that interview on the phone, was how confident he was about what he knew and how he told you what he didn't know.
You said Tennessee's got the best baseball program in the country. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think you would say those words?
Zero. No chance. Not even close. Are you kidding me? When we hired him, I was telling earlier, after Carolina, we went to that Chapel Hill playoffs, that NCAA tournament in 2019. We hadn't been there since 2005, something like that. And had Garrett Crochet been healthy, we might have made a run. He broke his jaw a couple weeks before that. Didn't pitch as well as he could have. And I remember I was getting ready to leave, and Tony's getting on the bus to take the team back. And I was going to North Carolina with Debbie. I said, man, this is wonderful. He turned around and he said, oh, it's too bad you're retiring because we're not done. Exact words, we're not done. We were out having a glass of wine. He said, with the support here and the fan base, I get the right stadium. If Vanderbilt can win the national championship, why can't we? That's how he said it. If Vanderbilt can win a national championship, why can't we? Those are exact words.
Andrew's Physical Therapy at Blaine and Strawberry Plains. That's where I've gone to rehab my knee, my shoulder, my elbow. When rubbing a little dirt on it ain't enough. Will Tennessee make the college football playoffs this year?
I think that's kind of unfair question in a way. I have people.
No question is unfair, Carl.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Jimmy. I forgot for a second there. This is his fourth year, right?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
He's won 27 games.
Yeah. Almost four times. Okay.
He's averaging 9 wins.
Yeah. Okay.
So if he goes 9-3, does that get you in the playoffs?
I'm not here 12 months a year. Okay. But I'm here in the last couple of months. I hear people talk about, we're going to make the playoffs for sure. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to share a story. Take 1 minute. 2021, I'm in North Carolina. My neighbor across the street is a Big Ten guy, huge Big Ten guy. He's got every network you can imagine, Big Ten. He puts his computer in, he gets Cincinnati station, Chicago station. They're interviewing Jim Harbaugh. Fall 21. You remember, going into 20, they're talking about firing Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And then COVID saved him. I don't even know he was .500 during COVID. I don't even know if he was or not. Fall 21, they're interviewing him. And you know what he said? What kind of team are you going to have, Coach? He said, well, I don't know what kind of team we're going to have, but for the first time since I've been at the University of Michigan, the first time, I have quality depth. I can go 2 and 3 deep. I can't replace Asa Hutchinson. I can't. But the guy behind him could play for any Big Ten school. He said, so I have depth. Depth is underrated. The question I have for you, do we have depth? Because in the SEC and the schedule we have, as you well know, in October, November, our second better be as good as our first because we're going to probably lose a couple firsts. Case in point, the center last year. We probably beat Florida if he's healthy, right?
Correct.
I'm guessing. I don't know. But one player can make a difference, especially your center. And the kid's a pretty good football player.
Very good.
The Mays kid. He's a good football player. Okay. If we have the depth of the Alabamas and the Georgias, we'll win 10 or 11.
Well, they don't have that.
I don't know.
They don't, the depth of Alabama
and
Georgia.
Do we have some depth?
Yes, I don't know. That depth is in certain positions. It's not everywhere.
Yeah.
They have depth at receiver. They have depth on the defensive line. To be honest with you, I would probably stop there.
Really? So you know more than I do.
Now, having said that, Josh Heupel said this is the deepest team he's ever had. That may be true.
Then there you have it, Jen.
Okay. And they won 11 games a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think this team's as good as 2022.
You don't?
I got them going 9-3 and barely missing the playoffs.
Okay. I answer your question. Again, depth to me, I've been around it like you have. I've been in rooms. Sometimes I'd sit on meetings. We had the boards up there. It's depth, depth, depth in this conference because it's a mixed martial arts for 12 weeks. Okay? You get in the ring and you beat the hell out of each other. I'm with you, 9-3. I think, for the record, NC State's not going to be easy.
No.
We're not going to run through NC State.
I agree.
They're going to come out with some, cutesy defensive coverages. They're going to run people around, going to drop 9, do stuff like that. And then Josh will make adjustments at halftime, and we'll be fine. But it's going to be a closer game than people think. And once we get past that game, obviously we go to Oklahoma. And I think 9-3 gets Tennessee in the playoffs because we're in the Southeastern Conference. Okay. And now, again, who's the nine? All right. So if you lose to Georgia and you lose to Alabama, 10-2 definitely gets you in.
I agree with that.
Okay. Do we play Missouri this year?
No.
Okay, that's a plus. We're playing – who do we play in the conference? Play the Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama, and Georgia. Mississippi State.
Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Arkansas.
Okay. Where do we play Arkansas?
At Arkansas.
Oh. Oh. Well, that's a quality win then. If we go down to Arkansas and beat them, that's a quality win. Because I think that's how they're going to judge stuff, you know, to get in the playoffs, your quality wins.
Well, as long as Arkansas doesn't go 4-8.
Yeah, and I don't think they will.
I don't either.
You know, I think they're pretty good from what I've heard. You know, Scout told me he has Arkansas, and he said they're a pretty good football team. Anyway, to answer your question, I think 9-3 gets us in the playoff, and if we have depth, like you said, then we could win, you know, 9-10 games. It comes down again. What did I say earlier?
Quarterback. Nico's right-handed.
Oh, is he right-handed?
Yeah, you're doing this left-handed.
Okay, well, I didn't want to bump this. Okay. I don't want to knock this over, but he's the key, you know?
I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
I don't know if he'll be Hendon Hooker good in 2022, but he could be Hendon Hooker good in 2021 because Hooker got better. So if he can put up, if he can do what Hooker did in 2021, they'll be really good.
I know we're ending here. I want to hear one more great story.
Go ahead.
Great story. It's September of 2021. I'm retired. I'm at the beach. John Gilbert takes care of me. I get my football fix at East Carolina. Mm-hmm. That's where I get my fix. John puts me up in a box one game a year. I drive up 2 hours, and he takes care of me like I'm important. It's 2021 opening game. They're playing the University of South Carolina. Okay. Young head coach's first game at South Carolina. His dad's there.
Yes, so Shane Beamer, Frank Beamer, yeah.
I called his dad Thursday. I said, Frank, where are you sitting? He said, they got me in the stands. I said, let me talk to Gilbert. I'll get you up in the box. He said, I'll be great. So they got Frank Beamer in the box, right? And his son's a head coach of South Carolina. That's the kind of man John Gilbert is. He's a class act. So I'm sitting there, Jimmy, and I have my iPhone out. You can't make this up. I got my iPhone out. Frank's sitting right here. We're playing Pitt at the same exact time those two teams are playing. It's a noon game. So I remember, it's a noon game in Greenville. It's a noon game here. Okay, and I'm watching our game, right? Frank kind of leans over and he said, so how's that quarterback doing? Because we're so much the game. I said, he's doing pretty well. I said, you know, he's a big kid. He can throw the ball 100 yards. And they say he's pretty athletic. And, you know, they're struggling now, but we'll see. Frank says, no. Kind of pushed me. He said, no. I said, the guy from Virginia Tech. I looked at Frank. Said, he's not playing. He's not going to beat out this kid from Michigan. Frank shook his head and he said, if I were still the football coach at Virginia Tech, he would have never got out of Blacksburg. That's one of the best young quarterbacks I ever saw. I said, what? He said, quote, letting him go could cause Justin his job.
Justin Fuente, the head coach.
He called it. They fired him at the end of the year. Frank called it right there. Frank said, that's going to be your quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm sitting there worried about the beers cold next to a Hall of Fame coach. That's why he's a Hall of Fame coach, and I'm worried about cold beer.
Carmen, I appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. Had a lot of fun. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.